Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Yeah. And today, it's our deconstruction day. I know everybody looks forward to these, where we talk about usually an old game, an old tabletop role-playing game, and just, you know.
Yeah, but they're always awesome.
Sure. We always pick good games, at least in our opinion. And this month, it's my month to pick and talk about a game, so I'm going to kind of break the pattern, do something a little different. Today, I'd like to talk about Pugmire.
Okay.
Now, I know we've talked about, personally, you and I have talked about Pugmire, but most people aren't going to know what this is, unless you're really into tabletop games, in which case you're like, isn't that the one with the weird dogs on the cover? And yes, it is. Weird dogs.
But there's a reason behind it.
Pugmire is a fantasy role-playing game where you play an anthropomorphic dog, which is to say you're a humanoid, but a dog. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the way they were with being turtles, but also humanoid. Okay, like that.
Yes.
But dogs. And it's a medieval society in the far, far, far future where man is gone. Long gone. In fact, the kingdom of Pugmire mines plastic to make their coins out of. And characters in this game are out looking for artifacts from man. Because that's where most of the quote-unquote magic comes from. Because, you know the old phrase, science is significantly advanced far enough, it will look like magic, especially to a primitive society.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially when it comes to magic users, that rule applies here. So there's limited magic, but it's still a really cool setting. Your characters generally play as, I think they call the group Pioneers, which are, it's a society that supports adventurers. You don't have to be a pioneer, but if you are, they provide you a place to stay. You need one. They provide you gear. They can, if needed, get you artifacts. Not artifacts in a D&D sense, but artifacts from ancient man. If it's needed for a specific adventure of a specific task, go out and do. Especially if you're like you're a magic user. Maybe they provide you with your focus so that you can go out and do your thing. And it's a really cool hook to get people together. You know, you don't have to go to, all right, you started a bar, you all happen to be there, and this guy comes in and he wants to hire adventurers. You all come over and want to join, and that's how you meet, blah, blah, blah. That's stupid. Right. Nobody wants to do that anymore. So instead, this group, and you can meet people through this, and you get assigned to work together. Suddenly, party together, your problem solved. And I would break down the rules, but there's no need, because it's 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. This is built off of the 5th edition open game license. So, if you know 5th edition, you know, for the most part, Pugmire. You know how to play this.
Right.
It's super simple. I mean, 5th edition took the rules for Dungeons & Dragons and basically simplified them and made them much easier to work with. Oh, Pugmire is that. Only easier. One of the cool things I like about it is, for example, the way you can handle advantage and disadvantage. In 5th edition, there's pretty hard and fast rules for, okay, if you do this, it's going to be at disadvantage. Or if you're doing this and you have this skill, it's at advantage. And roll 2d20 instead of 1, and you take the higher if you have advantage, the higher number. Or if you have disadvantage, you have to take the lower number. Pretty simple.
Right.
But with Pugmire, even simpler. Just common sense. Game Master goes, okay, well, you got knocked down, and you're trying to get back up in the middle of a fight and defend yourself. You're at disadvantage. It only makes sense. Or if you're doing something, come up with a great idea as a player, and you want to do that in your fight, the Game Master can go, okay, that you can do at advantage. Even when normally that wouldn't be something that would trigger advantage. It's cool. It's fitting to the story. It's surprising. And it's fun. So here, roll 2d20 and take the higher. It just works. And you could say, well, that's just a house rule. Yeah. But these house rules are awesome. It simplifies a game that was already simple.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to magic. Because they've simplified the number of spells. They've made the classes super easy. You pick one of the classes, and it tells you exactly the gear you have to start out with. All you have to do is pick your breed, which is effectively your race, your calling, I think it is, whatever they call it, which is effectively your class, and a couple other things, and you're up and running. You're good to go. Making characters is super simple. Sure, you're going to want to pick like some little background things and whatnot, like you do in 5th edition anyway. Instead of feats, they're tricks. Big deal. It's all basically just renamed stuff. It's super simple. And I just don't know what else to really say. I mean, the world in it. You've got one book, right? It's a nice book. But everything you need is in this book. Sure, there's other supplements that are either fan-made or have been put together by Onyx Path. Oh, did I mention this is made by Onyx Path?
I hadn't heard it.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who aren't really into tabletop games, you're not going to really know that. You know, that name doesn't really mean anything to you. If you're a role player, that name should mean something to you. They're kind of good at what they do. They've made some very impressive games in the past. And, who's making the World of Darkness games now? Onyx Path.
Them?
Point is, I bought this book, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. I haven't run it yet. I've just flipped through it and looked at it. It's, you can, when you buy it off of DriveThruRPG, you have like three options. You can buy just the PDF version. It's fine. Reasonably priced. Or you can buy the hardcover black and white, a little more. I went ahead and splurged and paid the $50 for hardcover full color throughout book. If I'm going to buy a book, by God, I'm going to buy one that's good and quality and going to last and look great. And this is exactly what this does. I'm just amazed. Normally, this sort of a book would be one of, when it comes to 5th edition, this is about, it's smaller, by the way, than a regular book. It's like 8x10. It's not even the size of a D&D book.
Okay.
In dimensions. So you have less per page, less room per page. And it's about as thick as Player's Handbook, I'd say. But this manages to pack in all the rules Dungeon Master needs, all the rules that the players need, your setting information, everything to get you going, all here, all your spells, all your tricks, all your classes, races, setting information, sample character. It is simply one of the best put together books I've seen ever. I've seen a lot of role-playing games. Even if I didn't know it was, I would look at this and go, oh, this is nice. This is just super cool. Not a whole lot of magic items. Doesn't have to be. Yes, this has your fantasy monsters. Got demons. It's not, straight out know, level of D&D for depth of what it might have doesn't have, like, you know, a full book just for monsters. Oh, wait, did I mention it's got rules for creating your own monsters? So if you decide something's not in here that you'd want, well, it's right here. Oh, wait, yeah, it's 5th edition. You can pretty much incorporate any monster or magic item, or really, if you wanted to expand the spell list, you can expand it from D&D or any other open game license game. It all will work because it's 5th edition, effectively. This is just truly an outstanding game, and I can't wait to run it. I don't know when I'm going to run it. It all depends on your game, but hopefully sometime this year I will be running this.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
I've even thought of, hey, if we just wanted to do a smaller group, if not everyone wanted to get together, we could do that. I know one of our players, one of the other guys in the group, said his two friends used to play D&D, would super
really
interesting.
Would really love to play it, yeah.
Yeah. So they want to join in.
I'd be cool with that.
Although they should be playing D&D with us if that's the case. But hey, you know, whatever.
Yes, but we already have 6 players.
We do? Yeah, we do, don't we? That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be 8 if we played Pugmire, because I'm assuming everyone in the group is going to stay.
Well, they don't want to be left out.
Yeah. I could see even Irizel wanting to play this game.
Possibly.
It's family friendly. This podcast may not be, but this is.
I know it's supposed to be, but I can't stop from cursing.
Oh, I know. The thing is that it designed with the idea that it can be played in a mature group as a standard, you know, regular old RPG, or it's simple enough that you can go and teach your kids.
Ah, why would you want your kids to be gamers?
Oh, I don't know.
A bunch of reprobates.
And I haven't even gotten to the best part. They're effectively making a World of Pugmire, in a way. Much like World of Darkness has multiple games that all tie together with a unified rule set, like vampire, werewolf, and whatnot.
All right.
This has Pugmire, where it's focused around playing dogs. Then there's Monarchies of Mao, where same rules, but you play cats. Because there's the great cat conspiracy as far as Pugmire is concerned. Cats are potentially the enemy. Don't know. A little suspicious of them. They're from the south. They live south of Pugmire. And there's something, you know, a little bit untrustworthy about those cats. And not as bad as the rats. Certainly not as bad as the badgers. But you just don't know. What are those cats up to? Well, if you play Monarchies of Mao, they're up to a lot. That game apparently is a lot more focused on intrigue and, you know, skulking around, you know, being cats. So, yeah.
Yeah, now, but if you want to keep a cat from, you know, slowing you down too much, just as you're running along, just pick up rocks or something and set them on tables so the cat has to stop and knock it off.
The thing is,
it's a proven tactic.
The one big problem I can see with Pugmire and Monarchies of Mao, a complementary game, is that inevitably someone's going to want to play a cat. Everyone else is playing dogs.
You mean kind of what happened with World of Darkness?
You mean kind of what happened with Innominy and the reason why we never could actually play?
Yeah.
These are games that are designed for everybody playing dogs or everybody playing cats. And if they ever make it, I'm assuming there will be a Badgers book. Dear God, please make a Badgers book. I like Badgers. Anyway, if you've got that sort of a problem, well, first of all, your group is fucked up. But it inevitably causes strife. That's my biggest concern about Pugmire. That's why I had that poll in our gaming group, Facebook group, asking people, dogs or cats? Dogs won. which is great because it saved me money and I really needed to save it at that time. Because if they had voted for cats, I would have grudgingly run Monarchies of Mao, but I was still going to buy Pugmire regardless. So it cost me $50 instead of $100. Although we all know me and I'm going to end up buying Monarchies of Mao anyway.
Oh yeah, it's just, it's a given.
I just won't do it right now. Eventually.
Eventually.
Required.
I would think so.
Yeah, pretty much.
If nothing more than just, you know, more source material.
Indeed. I'd hate to buy a full game just for source material.
Why not? You've done it before.
Yes. Like Innominy. I bought both the Angelic and Infernal player's guides, and nobody played it, period. Oh, I'm not bitter. No.
It shouldn't be. You didn't ask anybody if they wanted to try this game before you bought it.
Look, it didn't matter.
You just bought it, so you shouldn't be bitter.
Anyway, so I bought Pugmire. And thus far, almost everybody's super excited about it.
Yeah, it looks fun.
I know at least a few people will play it, and that's fine. Money well spent, if that, as far as I'm concerned. If I can get a couple sessions out of it at least, well, that's cheaper than going to a movie, I guess. Right?
Right.
But that's neither here nor there.
You say that a lot.
I do. One thing, I'm just looking at the back of the book, but, and it has a quote from Sister Picasa Colley, Shepherd of the Church of Man. Be a good dog. Protect your home. Be loyal to those who are true. These are the words of the Code of Man. And that pretty much sums up Pugmire. Are you going to be a good dog? Are you going to be true and trustworthy and stalwart while you're out exploring and adventuring? Are you going to protect people who need protection? Are you going to fight the bad dogs, chase away the cats that are looking to cause harm? And moreover, this is one thing I found really interesting, the unseen. You know how dogs occasionally will just sit there and bark at nothing till we yell at them and tell them, stop, knock it off, there's nothing there. Why are you barking at nothing? They weren't barking at nothing. They were barking at the unseen, which are effectively invisible demons that only the dogs can see. Well, maybe the cats. I haven't seen Monarchies of Mao yet. I haven't read it. But people certainly couldn't see them. That's what eventually brought down the Age of Man, as they wouldn't listen to the dogs, wouldn't listen to them, and say that there's really something there that you need to be concerned about. Well, one of the things that the characters in Pugmire fight is the unseen threat. That just brings a whole new dimension to the game. Not all dogs can sense them. Some of them need to have, you know, better noses to smell them out. Some needed better senses, basically. That's fucking great. Because you can have, it brings a whole horror element to this fantasy game. Like I said, you can play it totally family friendly, something your kids can play, and oh, I get to play a collie, or oh, I get to play a little pug, or I get to play a little chihuahua, and it'll be fun, and they run around with their swords and fight evil. Or you can play up to and including a dark, gritty, post-apocalyptic game with what effectively are mutant dogs and mutant cats and badgers and rats and all that, all in one book. Did you have any thoughts regarding Pugmire or questions?
Oh, I was thinking of making an unstable terrier.
Unstable how?
Mentally unstable.
Yes, yes.
Like most terriers are.
Oh, a little rat terrier.
Very twitchy.
Nice.
Thinks, you know, he's the biggest, baddest, you know, kid on the block, willing to fight anybody.
Yeah. I haven't really thought too much about what I would play because, you know, well, I assumed I was going to be running the game. Hey, Ben, did you have any thoughts on what you were going to play? No? He hasn't really considered it yet. I hand the book to her. She's like, I'm busy on the internet. Somehow I could see her playing a greyhound. She likes greyhounds. Or maybe a lab of... But who knows? Each of them have their own bonuses and whatnot, like a greyhound runs faster, obviously. Group in that breed. More than just greyhounds, that breed. It's a loose collection of them. Like, there's the worker class, which are the more buffer, more constitution-based. There's the runners that are greyhounds and similar dogs, that sort of thing. They all have separate benefits for their particular breed group. Just buy the damn book. It's fun. And it's weird because you would think it's such a silly concept. But I've been looking through the science. So many ideas for adventures that can be done. There's so much depth here. I am literally shocked. This is easily in my top 10 role-playing games ever. And I've never even run the damn thing. Not to overhype it at all, but it's pretty damn good.
Well, I'm glad.
Just saying. I mean, like, 5th edition is one of the best D&D type games. I have bought many. Well, when it comes to the open game license, the last big time, they've put out a lot of games off of the open game license as third-party creations, was back in 3.5. And you're seeing a lot of that now coming up with 5th edition. I have a lot of games using open game license from 3.5. They're either listed as D20 games, like Call of Cthulhu D20, or they're just say OGL. They're off the open game license. Like, I've got a cyberpunk game that's based off of that. I've got a Judge Dredd game. This is the open game license for 5. Things like that. Not a single one of those third-party games, not even Call of Cthulhu D20, is as good as Pugmire is. Not one. Although Call of Cthulhu D20 comes close, because it's Call of Cthulhu, and it's really fucking good. Speaking of which, if you've never tried Call of Cthulhu, there's no better horror game on the market.
What?
Yeah, I'm just like, I kind of run out of things to say.
Wow, that's a first.
I know, right? I'm just flipping through here looking at all the good stuff. Oh, they also, not only is their home brews interested, you know, not only already people homebrew games, they come up with their own rules, right?
Right.
They have a section for hacking your game. They encourage you to go beyond the rules, encourage you to create your own, encourage homebrew, because effectively that's what this is, a big old homebrew of a 5th edition D&D setting. They're like, hey, I want to play D&D 5th edition, but what if we did it with anthropomorphic dogs and cats and badgers?
Well, if you don't mind your show going a little bit long, that reminds me of some of the things I've been watching with the streams. You know how we've got D&D games being streamed online now?
Yeah.
One of the DMs out there, he's doing Fantasy High, where all the players are, you know, like your half-orc barbarian, your, you know, half-elf bard, that sort of thing. And they're going to an adventuring school. And it sounds strange, but it was quite entertaining, at least the first episode. And there's another one where it's pretty much mostly ship-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard of another one that was, it was a one-shot done in Christmas Land or Christmas Town, where everybody was elves. That was fun. That was fucking funny. Then I saw another one that was, I'm trying to remember it now. It's just, they've got all kinds of different settings. One is based off of fables, you know, like Little Red Riding Hood is one of the characters, and Aladdin's another character. And, you know, there's a lot of work getting everybody into the same world, but it shows promise.
Yeah. Sorry. So hard. I guess the whole point is go out and role play. If you're going to do so, pick up Pugmire. You'll enjoy it. It's fun.
Or so you assume.
No. No. I've bought so many role-playing games, I can tell which ones are good and which ones are bad. For example, there's a reason we have never played Judge Dredd, and you know how much of a fan I am of that character setting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I bought the book, read it, and went, this is OGL, right? This is OGL 3.5. Why did they fuck this all up? It's where homebrew went bad. Pugmire? Not so much. And that does one thing I wanted to point out. One weird thing is this game only goes to level 10.
Hmm.
Because after you can continue after level 10. Continue to get, you know, character bonuses. Not. But they stopped it at 10 because they felt that the game breaks down after the monster get an easier to fight. And they suggest more of like, instead of continuing on, which you could, instead playing like dynasties. Your character is retired, and now their son or daughter, one of their kids, is coming up. Thus, they could follow in their parents' footsteps or break off and do something different. Maybe they were playing a fighter type and they want to, the character's going to play a mage instead. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But they start off with a little bit more because, well, they inherited some, maybe a masterwork item. Masterwork being magic items in the game. Maybe they have a little bit more starting money or a little bit more starting gear. And they have the stories and enemies of their parent who is now retired. Maybe they've gone off and are continuing on that quest. Continuing on fighting those enemies. Or the children of those enemies. Whatever. Which is also already a good idea for any role-playing game. But that might come into play more where, in a game like Pugmire, where it's a lot easier to hit level 10 than it is level 20, which is the normal cap in D&D.
Right.
So, yeah. Anywho, probably should finish this up. Hopefully people haven't fallen asleep yet and have gone to their computer and are buying Pugmire at this very moment.
That would be nice.
Now, next month, you're going to be picking. Do you have any thoughts on what game you might talk about?
Werewolf.
Ooh, lot to work with there.
Oh, yes.
So many different games in that.
Well, I was going to talk to you about this before. I was thinking I would do Werewolf, and then you could do Vampire.
Oh,
perhaps. Because I don't own Vampire.
No, but I do.
Exactly.
Yes. Maybe by then I'll have 5th edition. Yes, I already have 5th edition. Anyway, till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Derek, catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.